Hey, Corey, what is the Memphis Mafia? How do they feel when they hear all these rumors that Elvis is still around? Does that bother them?
Yeah, you know, the majority of them that I know, it does bother them because I think they take it as such a direct insult to the memory and legacy of Elvis and to their friendship that they had with him. And, you know, I think at this point, after all these years, they just find it so completely absurd and they're so tired of hearing it. And it just, you know, it goes from there with them. I mean, the one Memphis Mafia member, Marty Lacker, that I speak with, you know, he's very blunt and vocal and honest with his answers, and he gets very, very upset about it. Some of the other guys are a little bit more quiet about it. But, you know, it shows the depth of their friendship and loyalty that they had to him, and it really shows what Elvis meant to them and how upset they get when they hear these stories.
Over a year ago, I had Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger and the Doors members, the surviving Doors members, and we were talking about the life of Jim Morrison and also the possibility that Jim faked his death. And both Ray and Robbie looked at me. They were in the studio at the time in Los Angeles, Corey, and they just shook their head and went, "He's dead." You know, and so, you know, it's time, I guess, they want to move on.
Well, that's it. And there's so much more to talk about with the memory of Elvis Presley than about the nonsense of the live rumors and the long-lost sons or daughters or whatever new scheme somebody dreams up year after year. You know, he was so much more than the people get. You know, they get the tip of the iceberg of the absurd a lot of times with the tabloid-type stories, and it really does an injustice to Elvis.
You know what's so amazing now, Corey, is the amount of money the estate is making now. I would guess Elvis is making more money dead than alive.
Well, and he definitely is now, and the estate is. I mean, considering the fact of Elvis's career, you know, from the 50s to the 70s and the way that money was worth then compared to now,
yeah.
He essentially has made more money being deceased than when he was alive.
Let's talk about Elvis as a kid, when he was growing up into the music world. What got him interested in music, Corey?
Well, you know, Elvis, of course, was born and raised in Tupelo, Mississippi. His family was very poor. They were very religious and church-going people. Elvis sang in the choir at church. He was raised Southern Baptist, and he really sunk his teeth into the gospel music, and he used to go down to an area of town called Shake Rag. And he would listen to the old blues musicians down there, and he really, really took a liking to that music, and I think that really got him interested in it, and some of those old musicians would give him a lesson or two on how to play the guitar, and one of his uncles helped him how to play the guitar, and he just kept doing that. And, you know, he took second place when he was 10 years old in the Mississippi-Alabama State Fair and got $5 and free rides to all the amusement rides, and you know, and he just kept going on from there, and he just had such a deep appreciation for it, and he would sneak into the gospel quartet shows, and, you know, and a funny story about that, too, that comes full circle is J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet, who I'm sure you've heard of.
Yeah.
He used to go to their shows along with the Blackwood Brothers, and he used to sneak in, and J.D. Sumner would let him, you know, sneak into the shows and wouldn't say nothing to anybody. Well, years later, when Elvis starts doing the touring again and the shows in Las Vegas and Lake Tahoe, who does he hire to be his backup band? Backup singers, but J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet.
I love it. Well, I've heard the same. I think, Gary, I think you may have told me this, but the Beatles were the warm-up act for Roy Orbison when he was singing in London.
Exactly. And, you know, Elvis met the Beatles, and this was something, I don't know if Elvis is actually looking forward to it, but what was odd, you know, we do this coast-to-coast thing because we know the slant we like, but the Beatles met Elvis on August 27th, 1965, and in California, and they went to the house, and Elvis sat there and looked at them, and they sat politely and looked at him, and after a few minutes, Elvis said, "Look, if you guys aren't going to do anything, I'm just going to go ahead and go to bed." He said, "If you want to jam, let's jam." And when he said that, they just lit up. And they went to the piano, and they played Chuck Berry songs, Elvis songs, Beatles songs. And Elvis had actually had a Fender bass, and he played Paul McCartney's bass part to "I Feel Fine." And Elvis said, "Very nice job on the bass, Elvis. You're coming along nicely." This was great. And, I mean, McCartney says it was the highlight of his life. And in one interview, John Lennon told the author to tell Elvis that he said, "If it wasn't for you, I would not be in the music business because he was so influential. So there was a tie there with the Beatles. The odd thing about it was August 27th, 2 years later, would be the day that Brian Epstein would die. And Epstein was the guy who arranged the meeting with Colonel Tom Parker. And you guys were talking about the money thing with Graceland. You know, I think this is one thing that bothered Elvis was, and Corey, you can say this, but didn't Parker get 50% of everything Elvis made? And I know that in one interview I read, I think they wanted him to play in England, and they were going to give him $28,000 to play a week. And Parker said, well, that's good enough for me, but what are you going to pay Elvis Presley? And I think Elvis started to be suspicious of his management when I believe he was offered $1 million to play a number of cities in Australia. And then he was wondering why he had missed out. Because think of this. If Elvis had played in Europe, he never left the country, as far as I know. You know, Hawaii's still in the country. But he had never gone to Europe. How many millions of dollars could he have made? So maybe he was mismanaged a little. What do you think, Corey?
Well, and that's definitely been one of the concerns that I've always had with the career dealings and decisions that Colonel Tom Parker made was, you know, Colonel Parker was absolutely fantastic and had such a knack for promotion. But he made such bad decisions that went along with the great decisions that he made, and I think it really held back Elvis a lot of the times, just like with not getting different movie roles, not being able to tour overseas. You know, things like that really could have gave Elvis this challenge and really broadened his horizons and made the fans really get to see him. You know, and that's why Elvis is so popular in other countries, because of the fact he never toured there. A lot of the Elvis tribute artists have great careers over there because these people crave anything Elvis.
Well, Parker, by the way, he died in 1997, so he dies 20 years after Elvis died.
Yeah, exactly. He passed away in Las Vegas. He was 87 years old, and he had basically been banished from having anything to do with royalties and business-wise with anything that was associated with Elvis in a court case that had happened years before. But even with that, he had gotten like a $2 million one-time payout to not have anything to do with Elvis's name or likeness at that point. And that was about all they could do because Colonel Tom Parker, being a Dutch immigrant who was here legally, basically said, well, you can't really do anything to me any further because I'm not even an American citizen.
But Corey, since he was an illegal alien, that would probably answer why he didn't set those tours up, because he went with Elvis.
Exactly.
And he couldn't get a passport to
that
leave
was
the country, correct?
That was a huge reason of it, was that. And also, they actually were, in 1977, there was plans to go to get Elvis set up to do a European tour. And they actually had plane tickets in hand. And then Charles Stone, one of the men that worked Concerts West that did all the tours for in the 70s, was actually going over there to make the dealings. But Elvis passed away. And so obviously that never materialized.